Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
What is up, bros? I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we are a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, I haven't actually watched a lot.
I'm like, still making my way through season two of The Purge. I'm finally on the last episode. So next week, I'll be able to actually talk about it.
Yeah, I'm still making my way through King of the Hill. I want to get to the new season.
What season are you on right now?
I'm on like 12.
Oh, hell yeah. You are almost there.
Yeah, so I'm only up to 13. Or so 13 is the last season. And then 14 is the new season that they added on. And I'm glad that they did that instead of creating a whole other show.
Yeah, same. Yeah, like, same here.
Would have been so dumb. But super excited. I freaking love this show to death, dude.
It's so good.
It is so good. It is so, like, secretly funny. And, like, I think I've talked about this before. I freaking love Peggy. And I love Dale. Like, those Dale's are my the two. The only, like, funny enough, the only character that gets on my nerves is Bill.
You know what? That's fair. I can understand that.
I did have this idea though to build like to go because I have like all these trees and stuff in my yard, and just it's just like open. But I had this idea to go and buy some like random like fence posts and put up like a stand of the King of the Hill characters and just like,
oh dude,
yeah, just for freaking funsies in my yard, and then like hand paint it and everything and just have that just for fun, and then like just try to sell it like the whole setup on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah,
like just because it's like I don't want it permanently in my yard, but I would love to have it temporarily in my yard.
No, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, dude, that would be super cool.
And there is like a major part of me that would want to like replace myself with like each one.
Yes. Oh, I love this idea.
Yeah, like I said, it would be fun temporarily to have them, but not permanently.
And hey, if Facebook Marketplace doesn't work, I see a lot of people sell that kind of stuff on eBay for local pickup.
That'd be cool.
Like, that'd be cool as hell. A lot of people do that for like theater standees.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I've seen like ones from the Simpsons movie, the Alvin and the Chipmunks movies. So, you know, you probably could sell it pretty fast on eBay.
That would be sick. Because yeah. I would like the way that I would sell everything.
Yeah,
like I would sell like it would come with the gate that I would put like in front, like or behind it and everything. It like the standees, like all of it.
Hell yeah.
Like, it'd be the whole freaking thing. Because, like, I do want to do something like that in my yard with other characters. Like, ones that I do want permanently in my yard.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking what would be really cool for, like, the entrance to my driveway is I'd want to put, like, a standee of, like, Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin, like, looking over the bridge.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Right? And then I want to put, like, Calvin and Hobbes in my yard, too.
Hell yeah. Like,
and then, like, I also have an idea for, like, a Snoopy stand, like, where I'd build this, like, Snoopy's doghouse, but then have replaceable Snoopies for, like, for the seasons.
Yeah.
I think that'd be so cool.
I love this idea, dude. This would look amazing.
Yeah, it's good in theory. I'd have to pull it off, though. Yeah. Like, if it didn't look right, I'd be like, ah, scrap it. Like, screw it.
I think you can make it work, man. You got this.
Yeah, I'd have to. Otherwise, I'd just be like, nope, not doing it. Oh, man. But yeah, So instead of talking about what we've seen this week. Oh, actually, I did watch one thing this week with Iris. I finally watched that K-pop Demon Hunters.
Dude, freaking there. I have a coworker that has been on my ass just trying to get me to watch that.
Dude.
I need to because she said it's really good. Yeah, that's what I've heard. So I need to freaking just hunker down and watch that shit.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's like, it's hilarious. Like, it's definitely like that typical, like, kind of anime style, like, humor.
Yeah.
Which it works with, like, the animation style and everything. It's fun. It's okay. Super fun. The music is baller.
That's okay. That's good to hear.
Kind of very similar animation style to, like, Into the Spider-Verse.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it works on, like, a ton of different levels, dude.
Solid. Speaking of Spider-Verse, did you hear the news that Shrek 5 got moved to, May of 2027? Did you hear that?
This better be because they're completely redoing the animation.
I hope so, but what's funny is so the first time they delayed it was to stop the competition with Toy Story 5. And then when they had it in December, that would have competed with Avengers Doomsday. Well, now what they'll be competing with is what's the third Spider-Verse going to be called? Is it Beyond?
Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, so it's going to be competing with that now. But
they're going to get destroyed.
But what's weird is so the release date that they picked is a Wednesday, which is not like out of the ordinary, because actually the Super Mario Bros. Movie came out on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
But just, and I think Spider-Verse opens just a couple days later on that Friday.
What month are they projecting?
May of 27.
Okay. So, I mean, it is summer.
Yeah. But just the fact that you're going to have like two animated films that like are like, yeah, you know, Spider-Verse is like maybe it's both for kids and adults. I mean, yeah. Shrek is too, because, you know, like millennials grew up with Shrek.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, like we all saw how much Across the Spider-Verse made, like compared to Into the Spider-Verse, like that shit blew up. I think Into the Spider-Verse made like 200 million. Across the Spider-Verse made over 700 million. So clearly like fans showed up after they saw how good Into was. But yeah, I don't know. We will see what happens. I really hope it's just like, yeah, them redoing the animation, please. I don't hate it as much as everybody else does. Like, if we get stuck with it, whatever, I'll still watch it. It's Shrek. But like, come on, make it look like the others. And also put in Puss in Boots. I don't know. There's speculation that Puss in Boots isn't even going to be in it, even though
that's bullshit. Yeah, after what we got in The Last Wish,
right? Yeah, there was an end credit scene that literally teased Puss in Boots reuniting with Shrek and his family.
Yeah, absolute garbage.
Yeah.
Also, minor gripe, I want them to go back and basically fix how Shrek's daughter looks. I want her to be more accurate to how she looked, or at least the eye color, because I think the eye color was completely off, right?
Oh, she does not look like the teenage version of Felicia.
Yeah. Horse shit.
Yeah.
Like, go in and fix that. That's a slide of a color shader.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my guy, like, come on.
And then you got
two other kids.
Yeah. Where is Farkle and Fergus?
Man, that's going to be a real, like, I'm going to have to see quite a bit from that movie to decide whether or not I'm going to see that in theaters at all.
No, that's fair.
Like, cause if they keep the same animation style, like I could let that go a little bit.
Yeah.
But if they don't fix those little things with it, like I'm calling it good. And I'm like, yeah, I'll see you when you're on streaming, my guy. Man, but yeah, anyway, K-pop Demon Hunter is the shit.
Okay.
And yeah, my Iris has already watched it twice or three times, because we watched it a little bit when we got home, and then she finished it during dinner. And yeah, she freaking loves it. We've now listened to the soundtrack on the way home from school.
Aww.
Which is hilarious, dude. Her musical tastes make me laugh. So on the way to school in the mornings, she wants to listen to Rob Zombie's Dracula three times in a row, because it only takes us 10 minutes to get to school. So we could play it three times almost exactly before we get to the school line.
Yeah.
So that's what she wants to listen to. And it's so funny, because like the first time that she hears it, she's just sitting in the back, like rocking her head. She freaking throws up the devil horns, is like rocking out. Right. Then the second time it kind of slows down. And then the third time she was just like sitting there, just like staring out the window while it was going, just kind of like bopping her head. And I was just like, man, this kid's feeling this song in her soul.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And then today, that's fantastic. She wanted to listen to that, so I played that for her. And then I have a playlist set aside for her of songs that she enjoys. So I threw on a few from the K-pop Demon Hunters. And then when that next song came up, she just screamed like crazy, just the highest pitch, like dogs from across the state could hear her.
Wow.
Like, just she's just sort of screaming, like, oh my God, I didn't know this was on Spotify. And I was like, yeah, like, I threw it on today. And she's just like, oh my gosh. And so we listened to that. And yeah, she was loving it. But yeah, super good movie.
Yeah.
Like, real good movie if you get a chance to watch it.
Yeah, no, I really need to.
But yeah, other than that, you want to do a few rounds of our newest favorite segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hell yeah. All right, for those of you that don't know, we are going to be playing a couple rounds of Connect the Stars, brought to us by Eric Bai and Amanda Hum. So for those of you that don't know, this gives us two random celebrities to connect in some way, shape, or form to each other through a series of movies and like co-stars and whatnot. So it's kind of like the 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon type stuff. The only rules that we have is that if either one of us or if both of us are not familiar enough with an actor or actress, we can kind of veto and replace. And the only other rule is that it's all memory based. We cannot look up anything. Hence, like if you listen to last week's episode, you will know that we did that because of my big old bitch fit of looking up Ocean's 10 instead of looking up Ocean's 8 to connect Anne Hathaway and Sandra Bullock. So, yeah, so that's the only rule.
Yep.
So without further ado, the first star that we got is Uma Thurman.
I'll be honest, I don't think I can name one movie off the top of my head she's in.
Tarantino movies. Pulp Fiction.
Oh yeah, shit. Yeah, Kill Bill.
Yep, Kill Bill.
Oh, okay.
All right. War with Grandpa. Oh, God, she's another shit, too. I can't remember. So I think we have enough of a baseline
for yeah, that. Yeah, okay.
All right, the next one, Matt Damon.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can work with that.
We could definitely work with that. All right, so Kill Bill, that gives us Lucy Liu.
Yep.
Was Lucy Liu in that Great Wall movie with Matt Damon? That might be a racist assumption of mine, but I feel like there was an Asian actress in that movie.
I can't remember if, like, because, yeah, I'm thinking either she was in that or 47 Ronin. But, like, ooh, I can't remember okay. which one.
So, 47 Ronin.
Okay, I guess Matt Damon was not in that. Oh, yeah, that was Keanu Reeves. My bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
Not the same guy.
Okay. So, you said that Uma Thurman was in The War with Grandpa, right?
Yes, so that gives us Robert De Niro.
Yeah, okay. Robert De Niro and Matt Damon have had to work together in some capacity, right?
I feel like they have. I don't know in what capacity, though. Like, I couldn't name a single movie where the two of those...
Yeah.
At least not any that I've seen.
Yeah.
We got John Travolta that we could connect. Samuel L. Jackson that we can connect. Which, I mean, if you want to kind of cheat, Matt Damon was in Deadpool 2.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He was.
And we can kind of pull, or actually he was in Thor, and Thor starred yeah. Samuel, or had Samuel L. Jackson in it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause I forgot. I yeah. Yeah. No. Cause yeah, they did the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. Thing. Cause yeah, that's where we're introduced to Hawkeye.
Yeah. Oh wait, I don't think that was, I think that might've been Thor Dark World.
Really? He wasn't in the first Thor when
I don't
Thor,
Matt
Thor
Damon
to the S.H.I.E.L.D. bit. Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah, no, it was the second Thor.
Yeah, because that's when he was playing Loki.
Yeah.
Or stage Loki. Okay, so Uma Thurman, we can give Pulp Fiction, which gives us Samuel L. Jackson. Where was he in? Man, I don't want to go the cheap route because, I mean, we can easily connect Samuel L. to Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, the cast of, like, Air and how we can connect any of those people to Uma Thurman.
Okay, so we got Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, Chris Jason Tucker. Bateman. Yep, Jason Bateman. Viola Davis.
And this is a tough one.
Yeah.
You know what? Just for shits and giggles, I'm going to see if Lucy Liu was in. Nope.
Damn.
All right. Guess not. Like I said, it might have been a racist assumption on my part. Oh, gosh. Is it Thor the Dark World?
Yeah. They're really not counting that for Matt Damon? What the hell? Yeah.
No, not Love and Thunder, you son of a bitch. Okay. Oh, okay. So Chris Hemsworth. Oh, maybe if I took out the Thor. Chris Hemsworth. Thor the Dark World. Really? Wayne. Okay, what about Love and Thunder? He was in that one for sure. Okay. Picky assholes. All right. So with that connection, we got Uma Thurman, who is in Pulp Fiction with Samuel L. Jackson, who is in Thor with Chris Hemsworth, who is in Thor: Love and Thunder with Matt Damon. He was also in freaking Dark World. We know that for sure. So, yeah. Anyway. Was he in Dark World or was he in Ragnarok?
Shit. Yeah, I think it was Ragnarok.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay.
Were there any like threads that you were wanting to look into?
None that I can think of. I just thought that one was going to be a little easier.
I thought it was too.
Yeah, I'm going to see.
So let's see. I'm with there. Oh, we could have gotten.
What about Matt Damon?
Batman and Robin.
Oh, son of a bitch. Yeah.
We're so stupid.
Yeah, because that would have given us George Clooney.
Was that one George Clooney?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Shit.
Damn it.
Gosh damn it. We're so dumb.
Yeah, son of a bitch. Yeah, how George did we miss Clooney, that?
That would have been, an Oceans movie?
Yeah, I swear that Clooney and Damon were in an Oceans movie together.
All right, let's see. Just for shits and giggles. So, Batman and Robin. George Clooney, Ocean's 11. Ah, that would have been much. Damn. Yep. So the shortest thread, at least that I can find, like I'm not seeing any off the top of my head that would have connected these two quicker, unless Matt Damon was in movie 43.
He might have.
Does not look like it.
Oh, okay.
Or at least he's not credited.
I'm shocked. It seemed like every celebrity was in that movie.
Yeah, no joke. Like that movie 43 is always a good bet for celebrities.
No, like seriously.
Yeah. So the shortest route would have been connecting Uma Thurman to Batman and Robin, which would have given us George Clooney to Ocean's 11 to Matt Damon. All right, round two.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Hell yeah. Zoe Kravitz.
Okay. All I'm thinking of is the Batman.
That's all I'm thinking of too. I know I've seen her in other shit. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, we can work with it. And Dwayne Johnson, shit. What do you think? Are we confident enough to try that?
I don't know. Because like I'm trying to think of other actors in the Batman that I can tie to The Rock, but that's like kind of hard. Because you got
Robert Pattinson,
and then Paul Dano. And then I always forget his name, but he plays the Penguin.
Colin Farrell.
Yes, Colin Farrell. I always get Farrell and Firth mixed up for some reason.
No, I feel you. I feel you.
Okay.
Who else? Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis?
Yeah, he played Alfred.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a decent amount that we could roll off of that. I don't.
Yeah, maybe we could make this work.
Okay, we could roll with this. We have a good foundation.
Yeah.
Okay, so Zoe Kravitz. Obviously, we got the Batman. There's other movies that she's been in that would be easier to connect.
Yeah,
I'm so certain of that. I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't in Charlie's Angels, was she?
No, that was someone else. Or at least I think so.
Okay, cool. All right. And then.
Ooh, okay,
so how do we connect The Rock?
What else is there?
Was The Rock in Get Smart?
Yes, he was.
Ooh, fantastic. Because that we could connect Paul Dano and Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, and Alan Arkin?
I mean, Alan Arkin or Steve Carell, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, either works.
Yeah, we could do Alan Arkin.
I kind of forgot.
Freaking A. Carell.
Dude, nice. Nice one, man.
You freaking nailed that. Yeah. All right, let's see for shits and giggles what else Zoe Kravitz has been in.
Have you seen Little Miss Sunshine by chance?
Yeah, we watched it together.
Oh, yeah, we did. I'm sorry. My memory is very fuzzy these days.
All right. So she was in Blink Twice, Divergent, oh, X-Men First Class, Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
She played one of Lego Batman.
Wait, who is she in Lego Batman?
Let me look.
She wasn't Batgirl, was she?
No. She was Catwoman.
Oh, that's perfect foreshadowing right there.
That's hilarious.
That is amazing. Oh, I love that so much.
That is the funniest shit right there. I wouldn't have even thought to attach her to, like, we were just thinking Batman.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm just looking to see if she's connected to anything that's features The Rock, which doesn't look like. Yeah, I mean, that definitely feels like one of the shortest threads that we could have done with that.
Yeah, no, dude, that was a good one with Get Smart.
Yeah, well, the only reason I thought of it was because I was like, okay, I know I remember Paul Dano, like, having worked with Steve Carell in Little Miss Sunshine, and I'm like, and Steve Carell connects to everyone.
True that.
Sweet, that was a pretty quick one.
Yeah.
All right, one more?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, last one. Judi Dench.
Dude, all I can think of is Cats.
That's all I can think of, too. And Kate Blanchett.
Oh, bro, I got nothing.
Oh, shit. Kate Blanchett, I feel like I could do. Judy. Okay, well, I could probably do Judi Dench.
Yeah.
If okay. I mean, rolling with Cats, like, I think there's enough foundation there.
Okay.
Gosh, what else is Judi Dench in?
Yeah, dude, all like we both said, all we can think of is Cats.
Okay, so Judi Dench was in Cats. So that gives us
James Corden.
James Corden.
There's
an animated movie. Was Kate Blanchett and Peter Rabbit? Nope. God. She was in Curious Case of Benjamin Button. She was in Thor Ragnarok. She has been in The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
She. Oh, goodness. Gosh, I'm so bad at this. All right. So who do we got in Cats? So we got.
Say we got James Corden.
James Corden.
We got Rebel Wilson.
Rebel Wilson. Jennifer Jason Hudson.
Yep, Jennifer Hudson. Jason Derulo. I don't
I'm
know.
Not if actually, I'm not going to throw him in there because yeah. He's more singer.
See, that's all I can think of.
Okay. So do any of these. Okay, so we got the Curious Case of Benjamin, if I could spell it, Benjamin Button. So that gives us Brad Pitt. Then we got, what else? The Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Rings. I mean, so that gives us a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, freaking Ian McKellen was in Cats.
No shit.
Yeah.
Ian McKellen. Yeah, sure. Freaking A, dude. Go. That good catch.
Right, thank you.
Hell yeah. So this was a quick one. So we got Judi Dench, who is in Cats, with Ian McKellen, who is in The Lord of the Rings, with Kate Blanchett.
Perfect.
Freaking A, dude. I would have, that would have over my head.
No, dude, freaking his part is like so small. Like, I don't blame you for forgetting about it.
I think he wanted to forget about that too.
Dude, honestly, I think the whole cast wants to forget about that movie. I freaking told my buddy Ryan and my buddy Chris at work. Somehow we got talking about the movie Cats, and they didn't know that there was a butthole cut. And so now they do. Universal will never have it released, which good. I don't think the world needs to see that shit. But the fact that that actually exists is just insane.
Just that there is a world out there where that was released is hilarious.
Yep. Right?
Oh, man. That was pretty good. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, let's say we get into this week's breakdown.
Let's do it.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Do it.
Hell yeah.
Hey, this is Mikey T.
And Grant.
And Billiam.
And we are the Failing Hollywood Podcast. But you are listening right now to the All Bros Podcast with our good friends Caleb.
And Johnny Rose.
Yeah.
Jonathan. Johnners. Johntown. Right.
The best Rose movie podcast.
No. Second best.
Second best movie podcast.
Yeah.
They got some good hot takes, good reviews. Check them out.
They're fine.
Yeah.
All right. Shifting the mood here a little bit, throwing in our black and white background for those of you watching our video. Yeah. So this week we will, I don't think we said at the top of the episode.
Yeah, we did not.
Yeah. So for those of you that are blissfully unaware of what we're doing this week, we are going to be discussing the movie Sinners, which came out last year?
It came out April of this year.
It came out in April? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Understandable why it might have slipped my radar. Because this year sucks.
Yeah. No, dude. Like, seriously. Like, this... Wait, no. This one... I think this was, like, my second movie going back to the movies after the shit that went down.
Yeah. Anyway, so for those of you that are unaware of how we break down movies on this podcast,
I thought you were gonna say for those of you of unaware of how shitty our years have been so far.
Yeah, we don't need to readdress that.
Yeah, no, we don't. That, just for some reason, I thought that's what you were implying.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know how we break down episodes on this podcast, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we will be scoring are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we'll give our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers will get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. So, without further ado, if you have not seen Sinners, it is currently streaming on HBO Max. So, if you got that, you can go watch it on there. Definitely go check it out. I don't think this is a movie you can spoil. Though
that's fair.
Like, there's definitely like elements to it that can be spoiled, yeah, but nothing that I would feel like is going to be like, I wish they wouldn't have said that. Like, there's nothing like that.
It is definitely though a movie that you need to see. It needs to be experienced.
Oh, absolutely. So definitely go check that out. Like I said, it's on HBO Max right now. So if you listen beyond this point and anything is spoiled for you, it's your own damn fault.
Yep.
Because we will be continuing on to our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose.
Yeah. All right. In 1932, identical twins and World War I veterans, Smoke and Stack Moore, returned to Clarksdale, Mississippi after a year spent working for the Chicago Outfit. Using money stolen from gangsters, they purchased a sawmill from landowner Hogwood to start a juke joint for the local black community. Their cousin Sammy, an aspiring guitarist, joins them despite his pastor father Jedediah's warnings about the sins of blues music. The twins recruit pianist Delta Slim as a performer, local Chinese shopkeeper couple Grace and Bo Chow as suppliers, field worker Cornbread as a bouncer, and Smoke's wife Annie as a cook. Annie believes her hoodoo practices kept the twins safe, but Smoke doubts them for not preventing their infant daughter's death. Stack runs into his white passing ex-girlfriend Mary, who resents him for abandoning her out of protection. Elsewhere, Irish immigrant vampire Remick shelters from Choctaw, I hope I said that right, vampire hunters with a married Klansman couple whom he turns into vampires. On the joint's opening night, on the joint's opening night, Sammy, Delta Slim, and Pearline, a singer with whom Sammy becomes enamored, perform on stage. Sammy's music is transcendent, unknowingly summoning spirits of both past and future to join the crowd. However, the performance also attracts Remick and his vampires, who offer money and music in exchange for entry. A suspicious Smoke refuses. The twins realize that their patrons' reliance on company script makes it impossible for the joint to be profitable. Reasoning with Stack that outside income is necessary, Mary meets Remick outside where she is turned. Returning inside, she seduces and fatally bites Stack. Sammy and Smoke discover them. Smoke shoots Mary, but she is unaffected and escapes. Outside, Remick turns Cornbread. Smoke closes the joint early. As the patrons and Bo leave, the vampires turn them. Stack revives as a vampire, but flees after Annie repels him with pickled garlic juice. Annie realizes their assailants are vampires and tells the survivors how to deter and defeat them, and that killing Remick will not revert the other vampires back to humans. Although Remick and his vampires share a hive mind, their personalities remain intact. Still unable to enter the joint, Remick tries to negotiate by inviting the survivors to join him, saying that vampirism offers immortality and freedom from persecution. He promises to leave in exchange for Sammy, whose musical skills he wants to use to summon the spirits of his lost community, also revealing that Hogwood heads the local clan and plans to attack the joint at dawn. They refuse, and Remick threatens to attack the Chow's daughter, Lisa, at their home. Enraged by the threat, Grace invites the vampires into the joint and a fight ensues. Grace, Bo, Annie, and Delta Slim are killed as a result, while Mary escapes and Remick turns Pearline. Smoke fights and defeats Stack and then assists Sammy in defeating the vampires, who are all incinerated by the light of the sunrise. Smoke sends Sammy home before he kills Hogwood and his men, but is fatally shot. He reunites with Annie and their daughter after dying. Meanwhile, Sammy ignores his father's pleas to seek salvation and travels to Chicago. In 1992, an elderly Sammy, now a successful blues musician, is visited by an ageless Stack and Mary after performing at his blues club. Stack reveals that Smoke spared him at the joint on the condition that Sammy live in peace. After declining the couple's offer of immortality, Sammy performs for them. As they leave, Sammy admits that despite being haunted by that night, until the violence, it was the greatest day of his life. Stack wistfully agrees, since it was the last time he saw Smoke or the sun, and the only time they were all truly free.
Hell yeah.
What a freaking movie, dude.
Oh my gosh!
So fucking good.
Dude, this was a damn near perfect movie.
Yeah, no, like seriously. Like freaking, you know, Ryan Coogler did the two Black Panther movies, so already know he's an incredible director, but freaking he just bumped it to the top with this movie.
Like, yeah.
God dang.
Freaking, like, spoiler alert going through this whole thing, I think the only category that this movie falls short is in its character development.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna agree with you there.
Like, it is a very story-driven film,
mm-hmm.
where it doesn't really, like, obviously there are good characters in it, but I don't think any one individual character goes through what I would call a journey of like themselves, other than maybe you can make the argument for Sammy.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't, just because okay. he did kind of remain consistent, like, throughout. Like, he, like, nothing about him really ever changed.
No, that's fair.
Which is par for the course when it comes to movies like this, where it's more like thriller-esque.
Yeah.
So this is a difficult one, because do we consider this horror enough to not count character development and instead go into the logic?
I honestly think so, because they set up the way that the vampires work in this world enough that I think you could justify that.
Okay. So the only category we're going to be shifting, and we do this for all horror movies, is we change character development to the logic. So just making sure that the movie followed its own rules, which, again, did amazingly well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the score would be different like if we were to talk about character development. But since that wasn't a main threshold of this movie, I think there's definitely some arguments to be had whether or not that's a valid enough category to judge.
Yeah.
But starting off with the story, holy shit, dude, this was like, it was simplistic, but like, it hit hard. Like, I think that they said that this was, it had like elements about it that were true. Like, because I heard someone say like, oh, Sinners is based off a true story. And I'm like, bitch, that movie has vampires in it.
Yeah. Like, buddy,
like, I don't know what the hell world, like, fantasy world you live in.
No, like, but yeah, there is a good amount of parts that it is very historically accurate about when it comes to the time that it's takes place in. But yeah, no, with the whole like vampire shit, yeah, no, sorry, that ain't real, buddy.
Yeah, I was just like, there's not enough scientific evidence in the world to prove vampires like actually existing.
Yeah,
but I'm like, but okay, like, thanks, dude. But yeah, so I looked it up, and they're just like, it was based off of like very loosely based off of like actual events.
Okay.
But truly, when it comes down to it, nothing about this movie was real. I don't think there were any real characters or nothing like that.
Yeah, not that I've heard.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the story was really good. It's about these twins open up a juke joint that go and kind of basically gather the gang. Like, all of the, like, friends and family, and kind of gather them all together to have this like one epic night of just singing and fun and alcohol. And then, yeah, then they're taken over by vampires. And once, like, I was worried once that we started getting into the vampires that it was going to be like very jump scary. And I was pleasantly surprised by how not jump scary this was. Like, everything, it was just, it didn't, it had multiple opportunities to be that way, like give you a cheap jump scare, but it chose not to, because I think this movie knew that's not what this was about.
Yeah.
Like, this was about the story at hand. And yeah, like there is a supernatural element about it, but I don't believe that that was the main focus.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I loved it. I thought the flow was really good. I thought like I immediately fell in love with almost every character that they introduced.
Same here.
My personal favorite being Cornbread.
Oh, dude, freaking yeah. Cornbread is amazing.
Dude, Cornbread was hilarious. When, who was it? Was it Smoke? I forget which one's Smoke, which one's Stack.
So, Smoke is the one that's married, and then Stack is the one with, that had a relationship with Haley Steinfeld.
Okay, so Stack. So, yeah, Stack started like cussing and everything in front of Cornbread's wife, and he's like, yo, have some respect. And he started just getting mouthier, and he's just like, yo, bitch, I'm gonna like beat the shit out of you. And I love like the comment that he was making. He's just like, yo, I got like, I haven't even like caught up on my quota today. And he's like, man, like, screw your quota. Like your woman would be down for it if she knew how much I'd be paying you today. And he's just like, yeah, like straight up just like talking shit. And then when Cornbread goes after, and his wife was like, well, how much you paying him? And then Stack's just like, that's a good woman right there. Yeah,
I love that person. She's like, no, hold on a minute. How much are we talking here?
Yeah, I was just like, God damn. Like that's a woman that understands business.
yeah. Seriously. I get why, but freaking, I would have loved to have her in more of the movie. She was great.
Oh my gosh. She was fantastic, dude. But yeah, Cornbread was freaking hilarious. Like just throughout the entire thing. Yeah, absolutely loved him. I even really liked when he had turned into a vampire and was trying to come in, and they're just like, hey, your big ass has been coming in all day. Why don't you just like come walk it?
Yeah. Back? Why are you asking?
I was so afraid, dude. That was what was going to happen. That someone was going to have a slip up and do an accidental invite. Like the way that they were talking. Cause I'm like, you're talking about him coming in.
Yeah.
And so I was afraid that someone was going to like accidentally invite, and then shit was going to go completely nuts. Hmm. But yeah, so I really enjoyed how they handled that. I loved Cornbread. Like I said, also really dug Delta Slim.
Yeah. I was just about to bring him up. Freaking loved him. Even like the freaking like first interaction that we get with him, Stack and Sammy at the train station, just freaking fantastic. What it takes for him to finally be like, okay, yeah, all right, I'll play your juke joint.
Yeah, just being promised beer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're into that stuff and it's like the finest shit you could drink, and you're promised as much as you can consume, you know what? I take that as my payment.
Yeah, straight up. But yeah, I mean, the story had a really good flow about it. I love the narration of it too. Like how it would kind of jump back and forth between like, I love that the narration was a little inconsistent, but also like it came in like, it didn't come in and throw new information at you. It was basically just repeating, kind of bringing back to the forefront of your mind what was said at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I really, really appreciated that. Cause I mean, I don't know about you. My memory is shit.
Oh yeah, dude. Same here. Cause freaking, I just love how this movie opens with that animation of, you know, the ancestors and the goodness of the music, but also how it could attract evil. And then how, like, I think it was like halfway into the movie, which causes the Remick and his other vampires to show up, was that amazing scene of Sammy playing on his guitar and singing that one song, and you're just getting a freaking pan around of like all the different generations of music while the freaking place is on fire. So freaking cool. I love that scene so much.
Freaking magical, and something that will be addressed in effects.
Because hell yeah,
shit,
absolutely amazing.
Yeah, but as for like the story flow and everything, like this was rock solid. Like I'd probably personally sit at like a 94, and that's being nitpicky as hell,
dude. Fair, damn man. You know, I think I'm just going to be 1 point higher than you at 95.
Hell yeah. Moving on over to the writing. Brother, whoever got Haley Steinfeld to say the shit that she said in this movie.
Oh, man.
I don't know what you got paid. It was not enough, my friend. Like,
I mean, but it just showed how great of an actress she is. Yeah. Yeah, I forget, just I can't remember the line fully, but was it like yeah I remember, but then what was it? You grabbed my drawers and then like fuck me so hard. I thought no, you changed it.
She said you stuck your tongue in my goose.
That's what it is.
And I was like, God damn. Like I'll be 100% real. That made me feel the way.
Same.
Like I choked on my food that I was eating because I was like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. It still hit the same.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm so grateful that I didn't have freaking popcorn with me when I saw this for the first time.
Yeah, that's a good way to like inhale that shit.
Yeah, dude, freaking I would be choking my ass off from that.
Yeah. But honestly, there are worst last words to hear.
True. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, freaking. Yeah, dude. Her writing was spot on. Like all the writing for every character was so good. One that like really stood out to me was the writing for Remick.
Oh my gosh. Right?
Just like how, yeah. And like how he talked about how like, no, becoming a vampire. It's like, it's the right thing to do. Like you're free from the judgment of this world. You will be free. Just, and like, you wouldn't, but like at the same time, you're just like, you know what? The guy's kind of like speaking he's making some sense here.
Yeah. Like that's what was getting me. I was just like, God damn. Like, is he making sense?
Yeah.
Like, which is always the, like a show of a really good antagonist.
Yes. Like
it's when you can kind of get to the point of sympathizing with them.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I was fully on that board or on that, like that train. Cause obviously vampire, but
yeah,
like the appeal, like I think the appeal of like other people that other people made me feel like, okay, like I can definitely see the draw.
Yeah definitely. I mean the writing for Smoke and Stack, fantastic. Like it was in the trailers, but that, yeah, the like our first introduction scene with them when I forget the owner, the guy that owned the land, his name, when he pulls up and he's just like, you guys twins? And Stax is like, nah, we cousins. This is just the way that Michael B. Jordan says it. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, like his delivery was flawless, dude, which will be reflected in acting.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that the end scene where Smoke comes in and just freaking bushwhacks all those KKK members. Fantastic. Oh, yeah.
So good.
So satisfying too, dude.
Oh yeah.
Like, and yeah. I was afraid that they were gonna let the freaking like Boss Hogg go. And I was like, ah, shit, like is Smoke gonna die before he can like final judgment? Mm. But
No, he got the chance to mow that mother effer down.
Oh, so satisfying.
Yeah.
And then that, like, yeah, that that final scene where he like is reaching his hands out to hold his kid was beautiful.
Yes.
And I loved the interaction between Smoke and Annie.
Oh yeah. That was fantastic.
Like any interaction that they had was fantastic. Like it was so good. Like so good.
Yeah.
And then when she was like, when she had like was appearing to him and like, you put that cigarette, I was like, oh man, this is beautiful. Like so freaking good. Mm-hmm. Like I loved it. And then just that narration about the magic of music, or that some musicians have to summon ancestors of the past and future. Like I loved that little bit of dialogue so much. So I thought that was expertly written. I'm probably sitting at a 95 with that one, going 1 point higher than my story score.
I think the writing and the story are on the same level for me. So yeah, I'm just gonna match you. Do the same as my story score. So 95.
All right, going on over to acting. First up, we got Michael B. Jordan, who plays both Smoke and Stack. We got Miles Caton. Who plays Sammy Moore. We got Haley Steinfeld, who plays Mary. Wonmi Mosaku, who plays Annie, which I had a hard time placing her for a moment. And I was like, oh shit, she's from Loki.
Oh yeah, as the head TVA lady, right? Or well, yep. No, or was she the head TVA lady?
She becomes the head TVA agent, but yeah.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah, then we got Delroy Lindo, who plays Delta Slim. Jack O'Connell, who plays Remick. Basically, this movie's Dracula.
Yep.
We got Jamie Lawson, who plays Pearline. Then we got Omar Benson Miller, who plays Cornbread. Easily one of my favorite characters.
so good.
Dude, I feel like I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, it has been a minute.
Like, he was... I feel like I saw him a lot in, like, old Disney shit. Like...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking... Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, I'd have to look his IMDb up, but yeah. Then we got Lee Jun Lee, who plays Grace Chow, which loved her, too.
Yeah, she was great.
I don't know about you, but I think it's easy to say who our number one is.
Oh, yeah, dude. Michael B. Jordan. I feel when you cast someone as two different characters, I personally think it's one of the hardest things that you could do as an actor. And Michael B. Jordan might be my favorite person to ever do this, because the differences between these two and just freaking like how much you could tell that their brotherly love showcased. And it's the freaking same actor is just incredible. I freaking love this guy so much. He's just such an incredible actor. And I swear, if he isn't nominated for Best Actor at the Academy Awards this year, if this movie doesn't get a shit ton of Oscar nominations and wins, I'm going to be so fucking pissed.
Yeah, this movie deserves at least one win and all the nominations.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know what this movie would be up against, but yeah, like those other movies better blow me out of the freaking water, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, who's your number two then?
Two, I would give to Sammy. So Miles Caton, thought he was fantastic. Like freaking the opening that you get with him going to his dad's church. And him just like standing there with the bloody guitar, or like the broken guitar, him covered in blood. And then just that just like takes us into his character. And all throughout the movie, it's just fantastic. He, and oh my God, his voice.
Dude.
Like, so soothing. Like, hit. Oh my god. I can't say enough about this kid's voice, because not only as an actor but as a singer, this guy absolutely killed it. And so I loved him from start to finish. And then I probably would actually give 3 to Hailee Steinfeld, just because it was so different for me seeing her in this kind of role, because, you know, I'm used to her in, like, you know, Edge of 17, which, you know, like, yeah, that's a rated R movie as well. And, you know, like, I think she, like, yeah, she cusses a little bit, but this character is, like, so completely different from what I'm used to her. You know, I'll throw in Kate Bishop as well. It's so completely different. And I loved seeing her be able to show her, her acting more, because she's a phenomenal actor. And so seeing her be able to, play a role that I'm not used to, I absolutely loved. So I'd give her 3. Number four would be, Delroy Lindo, Delta Slim. Freaking loved him. He was fantastic. So yeah, yeah. That's
my number 2 is the same as yours with Miles. I'm gonna say Caton. Yeah, his voice is something else, dude. Like, if that's his natural speaking voice, like, crazy.
Guy needs to do some audiobooks.
No shit, dude. I wouldn't even be able to make it through like a chapter without freaking passing out.
For real.
Yeah. My 3 though is actually gonna go to Wonmi Mosaku.
Okay.
Who played Annie. I loved her interactions with Smoke. Dude, like, she was just an amazing character, and just the I don't know, I love the voodoo woman vibe about her.
Yeah.
And I also really liked the how sad and heartbreaking it was to, and how much of a not cliche it was, of seeing the whole, like, listen, if I turn, basically kill me before I fully turn. Like, you know, like, how those cliches go, and it's just like, oh, they don't end up doing it, and then it's just ends up being a big mess later.
Yeah.
I appreciated that they didn't go that route. And they actually, like, where he had the strength to do it. And I'm like, God, like, that was it hits different.
It really does.
Like, it hits way freaking different, dude. And oh man, rough.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, I thought she portrayed that so perfectly. She just had, like, she had this power in her performance that I just loved. Like, in any second she was on screen, I was like, gosh, I love her. Like, I loved when she was approaching the cornbread after he'd been turned and everything. She's just, like, basically, like, calling his ass out and being like, yo, you your big ass has been in here, like, no problem, like freaking try.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I loved it. Freaking loved her.
I love when they're, like, in the circle eating the garlic, and Pearline, like, puts up a fit about it, and friggin', like, everyone's just like, just eat the damn garlic, come on. Like, yeah.
Her reaction and Delroy's a bit extreme.
That's fair.
Like, I've had straight garlic before. I wouldn't say it's nearly that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, honestly, I probably would have made the mistake of killing Delta Slim had he been reacting like that. I'd be like, oh shit, and a boom.
Yeah, pop, no, like, seriously. Off. Yeah, no. I wouldn't just stand there and keep asking, hey, you okay? You okay, Slim? Like, come on.
Yeah. My really, really close number four, though, and I was bouncing between this for a hot minute, but I think my really close number four is going to be Jack O'Connell, who played Remick.
Ooh, yeah.
There was just something so haunting about him, dude.
Yeah, he was amazing.
He was so good. He was so good. Gosh, my favorite scene is when it's just like the three of them. So Remick and then the two other people, I forget their names.
The married couple.
Yeah, the married couple, where they're playing that one song. But what got me was how, like, when it was when they were playing in unison and basically moving exactly the same, I was just like, that's unsettling.
Yeah.
Like there's something not right about that.
And yeah, no, that's fair.
It was tripping me up super bad. And so once they talked about the hive mind shit, I was just like, oh damn. Like that's why.
Yeah.
So that tripped me up something bad. Loved it though. Absolutely yeah. Loved it. Where are you sitting with your acting score?
Dude, freaking, I'm just going to be like a 95s across the board here. I'm giving this a 95 too.
Ooh, I actually might be a point higher. I'm sitting at a 96, dude.
Fair. This
cast did so freaking good.
They did. Absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm sticking with the 96 there.
Hell yeah, dude, fair enough.
All right, moving on over to what are typically it's character development, but we decided that we're going to shift that into logic.
Yes.
Because this did have very horror-based elements to this. While I wouldn't necessarily consider this a horror movie, there was enough horror elements that I don't think justifies it enough to go into character development territory.
Yeah.
Which, in terms of how they followed their own rules, I thought they nailed it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Freaking from, yeah, like the first scene of the movie where we get, like you said, that amazing animation that is telling the story of music, blues music. Did they specifically just say blues music or was it just music in general?
I think that it was just music in general. I think okay. They just talked that some people have that capability.
Okay. And you know, like how good it can be, but then how it can attract evil. And then, you know, just throughout the movie, just seeing how they execute how that evil can take over is just freaking practically flawless. Like the way that Ryan Coogler tells, because usually I'm not the biggest fan of vampire movies. I don't know what it is. Just they're not my thing.
They're overdone. Like, I think that's the problem.
Yeah, that's fair. And so the fact that like this is a different spin on it and it's executed so well that I was freaking on the edge of my seat from start to finish with this thing. Like I loved it. And yeah, the way that they set up their own rules, or I get, yeah, the rules is done so well. I love the fact that even once you're bitten, you still have the same personality. I loved that. And just freaking it was in the trailers, but that part with Haley Steinfeld's character, Mary, when she like looks at them and she's just like, we gonna kill every last one of you. Freaking, I got goosebumps. Like that shit was terrifying.
Dude, 100%. Yeah. Freaking scary, 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 scary. I did. What I think I appreciated about this is that they didn't try to overcomplicate the vampire rules. Like they kept things very basic. It's just, they don't like garlic. They don't like, obviously, I don't think they had holy water on hand.
Yeah.
So I understand that, but it's just the they don't like garlic. They don't like fire. They don't like, or the a stake to the heart will kill them. and just and silver. And they like they can't stand silver. Like I thought it's like cool. You kept it at the basics. You didn't try to add anything. You didn't try to change anything about the vampires. Like how freaking Twilight does, where instead of like them burning up in the sunlight, they freaking like sparkle.
Yeah, that's such bullshit.
Yeah, it's so dumb. And it's just like it's other bullshit that they do. It's just like, okay, you're adding too many rules to the vampire shit.
Yeah.
And so it's just I love that they kept it basic.
Yeah.
Same thing. And they didn't go super overboard with anything like in terms of like how the vampires were affected. Like it wasn't like I don't know. It felt realistic in the way that like in the way that they portrayed it, where I don't know. I've seen some vampire movies where it's like the second that they're in sunlight, it's just poof, you're dust.
Yeah.
But I like that it wasn't like that. It was just it was more a slow burn.
Yeah. You like felt the pain that they were going through.
Yeah, exactly.
Burning. Especially Remix. Like, goddamn.
Yeah. Dude, the only rule that I felt that they added, but I don't think it was like, I don't feel like it was overdone, was the way that it's like their host vampire was like could feel, or like everyone could feel what the host vampire was feeling.
Oh, yeah.
So when he got freaking smashed in the head with the guitar and got that silver piece stuck in his brain, and how it's like burning him and everyone else is just like wincing in pain, and it was almost like that part of their heads were smoking too.
Yeah.
Like it was kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It was gruesome as hell, but freaking like I
seriously,
really interesting. Yeah. So I'll say this. I think that there is one small portion where I don't believe that maybe it's just because I either missed it or didn't like, there wasn't a full explanation. But I think I'm going to be at 95 when it comes to the logic, just because of the fight with Remick. So here's the issue that I had. It's more like how, like the conclusion where Smoke and Mary freaking deuced out and like got away, when it felt like every other vampire was drawn to where Remick was.
You mean Stack and Mary?
Yep. Stack and Mary.
Yeah.
So where Stack and Mary were able to freaking peace out and run away. And like, but it felt like every other vampire was like drawn to where Remick was. I don't think I've quite fully understood like that dynamic.
Yeah, that's like Stack I can maybe get because, you know, he was with Smoke, but yeah, where the hell of Mary, where could Mary have been? Like, I thought she would have been with the others.
Yeah.
So yeah, the fact that she's still alive with Stack at the end, like that freaking, I remember like the first time I watched it, like, you know, I didn't really pay that much attention to, but yeah, the second time I'm like, okay, you kind of got me thinking here, Coogler, like, why did she survive? Like Stack I can get, but like where the hell was she during all this?
Yeah. Like I think it would have made sense had we seen maybe Stack come and grab her.
Yeah.
And pull her away, but I think that's just the part that threw me. It's just like, okay, so why was everyone else drawn to where Remick was but not these two?
Yeah.
Like it's just one of those interesting, like, okay. And then did they explain it? Like, did you catch it? Whether they explained anything about their necklaces? Because why was it that Stack was trying to bite Smoke but almost couldn't?
I don't remember them explaining that.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I was just like, okay, well, maybe, like, I was sitting here trying to think that one through. I was just like, okay, so was it like the necklace is silver? But I'm like, but that doesn't make sense because Stack is still wearing his.
Yeah.
Like, and silver burns vampires and whatnot. So I'm like, that doesn't quite mesh. So I'm like, why wasn't Stack able to bite? Unless it was the voodoo.
It could very well have been.
Yeah, but I don't think that was quite explained super well. Like, again, this is so nitpicky. This is why I'm not like docking it like a ton. Like,
yeah,
going down to 95.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to keep going right across. I'm going to match you there, buddy. 95.
All right, moving on over to effects. So this is everything that was done practically, special effects, all that good shit.
Brother. Yeah, dude. Freaking... Like what you were talking about, how you definitely wanted to mention that freaking one take or one shot that we get with the freaking the juke joint of Sammy playing, and you get like a freaking literally a one shot going through the whole complex of generations, different generations of music while the whole building is burning. Just amazing. Like, what a visual treat for the eyes.
I know, dude. That easily might be my new favorite one shot.
I'm still gonna, just because, you know, Halloween fan, my favorite one shot's still gonna be in Halloween 2018 when Michael Myers returns to Haddonfield. But this very well might be a close second.
This is one that I want to see the behind the scenes of. I'm like, how much of that was in post? How much of that was done practically? Like in camera, like what was the deal with that? Because it was insane.
Yeah, dude, absolutely incredible.
It's freaking magical. Like, and oh my gosh, like, and they did like a couple different scenes like that where it was like full one shots.
Yeah,
I'm like, impressive as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of getting into how the vampires looked. I loved their look. It was simplistic, but like really well executed.
Yeah.
Like it was cool that you could almost like, it was weird. Cause I was looking at them. I was like, if you stare at them too long, it's like they start to look normal. And I'm like, shit, what is going on here? And it's like that creepy like reflection that cats get in their eyes.
Yeah.
Like at night. And I was like, oh, that's trippy as hell. And then I was like, are their eyes red? And like just trying to like kind of get that vibe, but I couldn't. I was just like, so like it was a trippy effect.
Yeah.
And then the teeth, basic. Like it was just sharp fangs. And I was like, okay, here for it.
I appreciated though that it wasn't just like the two fangs up front. It was all of them. I loved that.
Yeah, I appreciated that too. It would have felt too goofy if they went for anything less.
Yeah. No, the fact that they went for like freaking like shark teeth all around was the right choice.
Yeah. I loved as well that they didn't try and show off Remick's abilities as a vampire too much. Like where he was able to like float and fly around. I love that it did look practical where they just kind of like lifted him up. And that, I think that looked more haunting than seeing him like fly through the air.
Yes.
100%. Like I think, yeah, it was just like, oh shit. Like it was so good. It's like so well done.
Yeah.
And so ridiculously scary. I really liked the practical effects of how everyone looked when smoke was shooting them in the face, like with cornbread having getting like full.
Oh yeah.
Like his face was just blown to shit. And the way that he looked afterward, crazy.
Yeah.
And then the fights, like the fight when they like bust through the door. Ooh. Nuts.
Yeah, dude, freaking absolutely. Gunshots going everywhere, them getting stabbed with the stakes, just yeah, freaking insane, but loved it. Looks so good.
Yeah. the blood looked really well, good too. I will say, like, if I'm going to dock for anything, and it's such a minor gripe here, I think the blood might have been a little excessive when they got staked in the heart.
Yeah, I feel especially for oh my god, Annie, like that. I don't know, like freaking. It felt like she just had like a blood pack, just like right under her dress, and Michael B. Jordan just stabbed that and just freaking just gush.
Yeah, it's blood. Like I think you might have pumped up the pressure a bit.
Yeah, little too much.
Yeah, but I mean, it is what it is. Like,
oh yeah,
it's such a minor horror movie gripe. Like, I'm not even taking it down like a full point for that.
Like, dude, I forgot about the one shot that they did in town when Smoke is gathering the oh my god, I forget the owners of the convenience store.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, like he was getting their help, and like that freaking like one shot of him asking the dad, and then the daughter walking over to the mom to the other store, like such a simplistic one shot, but I loved it.
Yeah, the use of one shots was excellent.
Yeah,
in this, but. Honestly, I'm sitting at like a 98 with the effects, dude. Like, I thought this was so well done. And that, like I said, that one shot of everyone dancing while Sammy's playing was borderline magical. Like, I cannot give this anything less than.
Yeah, man. Shit. Yeah, dude. I think I gotta match you. Yeah, 98 all around.
Yeah, moving on over to music.
I'm a straight up 10.
Straight up 10, dude. Oh my gosh. So good.
Freaking, I haven't been able to stop singing "I Picked Poor Robin Clean" since April.
Dude.
God damn it.
Oh my gosh. The music was crazy.
Oh my god. Freaking from the song that Sammy is singing as we're getting that amazing one shot, even the song that he's singing to Stack when they're in the car, the "Pick Poor Robin Clean," when Remick and the other two first show up, when I forget what song Remick is singing, but like when all the vampires are like having their own like jubilee. Or like dance like party
in a circle.
Yeah.
Haunting.
So haunting, but freaking so good.
Yeah. The use of music in here was next level.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would be crazy not to give this a 10 out of 10.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Freaking. Yeah, dude. It's been a while since I downloaded a soundtrack that fast after watching a movie, but that's damn what I did with this one.
Straight up. Yeah. Yeah, tens across the board. Yeah. Costumes. This one, I had a real tough time with this one. I'm sitting at a 9.5, so I will go whichever direction you go.
Personally, I don't know, like, personally, I'm at a 9 for costume, so I'm a little lower than you, because you said a 9.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can definitely sit very comfortably at a 9.
Okay. Like, don't get me wrong, the costumes were great. You know, it made sense for the time period. And, like, they were special, but, like, personally, like, they didn't, like, like stand out to me like fully, like, and like, oh my god, these are like groundbreaking.
Yeah, the reason that I was so high was because of that one shot where it was like the panoramic of generations of people, and
okay, yeah, that's like fair.
Yeah, where you get like kind of the ancient African like the dancing garb, and then you move on to like like the 60s, 70s style. And then like you just kind of pan around of all these people that are just dancing and bringing their own form of music into this one song.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's personally why I am at that 9.5, but I can definitely like understand like being down at that 9.
Like for some reason, even with that in mind, I'm still sitting at a 9.
I'm with you. Like I said, well, since you're at a 9 and it does round down, I'm going to be that asshole and give it a 10 and have you bring my score down.
All right, fair enough. I love that. I'm going to be that asshole.
Yeah, because I loved it so much, and I do want to reflect that I like the costumes better than you.
You know what? Fair. I respect it.
Yeah. All right. Last up, we got personal score.
All right.
Let's hear it, dude.
Yeah? Okay. All right. You know what? I'm just going to say it right off the bat. I'm giving this a 96. This movie was so fucking good. And I kick myself for, so I just saw this in a plain old Cinemark, theater. Wasn't even that big of a screen, unfortunately. And I freaking saw this the second week it was in theaters, but for some reason, Orem Cinemark, didn't have that big of screens, for this, which was just really weird. But freaking, I heard like, it was incredible to see this movie in IMAX and 35mm. Like, and they brought it back after a couple weeks of it, but there was like no IMAX theaters near me showing it. So freaking, I hate that I didn't even get to see this in XD. I didn't get to experience this movie as it should have been experienced. But that just shows how freaking good this movie is from the story, the acting, costumes, music. This is arguably the best movie of the year so far. And just shows how incredible of a director I almost said Michael B. Jordan. it shows how amazing of an actor Michael B. Jordan is, how incredible of a director Ryan Coogler is. And I mean, hell, for the whole ensemble cast, like how great these people are in these roles. And just, yeah, there is a reason why so many people loved this movie and why it did so well. Like freaking, I don't know if you saw the box office for this, Caleb, but like, so it didn't do that great overseas, but domestic, it did incredible because the budget was between 90 and 100 million. It grossed 365.9 million.
God damn.
That is amazing for an R-rated film, especially a freaking a vampire film. Just, yeah, like a not known IP film. And so, yeah, like freaking, I love how successful this movie was. I hope that it gets a shit ton of awards because it freaking deserves it. So, yeah, Sinners, 96 for me. Fucking phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch this at or on HBO?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Okay. So you just reminded me of something. Of like during the fight, I think it was the fight with the actually it might have been the scene where they were doing like the whole panorama thing. Did you notice that like it went from like widescreen and like everything grew like,
yeah,
during that scene?
I actually noticed that throughout the movie. There were actually a good amount of scenes.
Yeah, I did it a few times and it tripped me up every single time because I was just like I was sitting there for a second and I was like, I would have sworn this shit was more widescreen.
Yeah,
but like I felt like in the those intense moments, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like why do I feel more pumped?
Right,
and then it would like kind of die down, and I'd settle a little bit. I didn't recognize it until like I turned away to grab a drink or something. And I looked back and I saw the screen rising, and I was like, you son of a bitch! I'm like, that's perfect.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, this is an easy 95 for me.
Hell
like
yeah.
This is definitely like a top movie, and I think what personally why I'm up this high is because I do believe that there is a major rewatchability factor here that isn't part of like other movies. Like I kind of explained the premise of the movie to my wife and was just like, before I went out to see it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go watch Sinners. And she's like, okay, what's that about? And so I kind of ran her through. I was like, oh, it's Michael B. Jordan. He plays twins, and it's more of like a music based vampire movie. And she's like, meh, not really digging it. When I came in and I was like, yo, you gotta watch this shit. And she's like, okay, like we'll sit down and watch it. And I'm like, cool. Yeah. I want to watch it with you.
Hell yeah. Like, love it.
Yeah. Other movies that I've had like that, where it's like, you got to experience it, I'm usually fine just like, oh yeah, like if you get a chance, check it out. Like it's very rare that I'm like, I want to sit down and watch it again. Yeah. And so like having that was just awesome. So I'm sitting at a very sturdy 95.
Hell yeah.
All right. So with that, the final Albro's scores for Sinners are going through the categories. Story is honestly our lowest category, sitting at a 94.5.
Okay, wow.
Our writing got bumped up to a 95. Acting is sitting at a 95.5. The logic of this movie is sitting at a 95. The special effects of this movie are sitting at a 98. Right. Music is sitting at a 10 out of 10. The costumes are sitting at a 9 out of 10. And then our personal score averaged out to a 95.5.
Let's go.
And I swear to everything holy, if this is in an A-minus category, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, dude, I will be fucking livid.
Yeah, 100%. So with that, the final All Bros letter grade for Sinners has come out to an A.
Oh, whew.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Whew. Wipe the brow with that one.
Yeah, no shit, dude. Holy crap. All right. So Sinners is, ooh, it is now, it's in our top 10.
Let's go.
Hell yeah. We freaking love when we get a new top 10.
Oh yeah.
All right. So Sinners is sitting at a 95.43%.
Very nice.
Yeah. So our cutoff for an A is 94%. So this scored well within that range.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, Sinners, do you want to hear what it's above or what it's below first?
I think I want to hear above.
What it's above? All right, so it is sitting above Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, fair.
It is above The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yeah, fair.
It is above Superman 2025.
That's fair.
It is above Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is above Avengers Endgame.
Fair.
And then it is above Wicked Part 1.
That is fair.
Now here's where it could get a little controversial. It is sitting below Across the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
It is below Barbie.
Okay.
It is below Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay, you really quickly, I think it's insane how many people have turned on that movie.
Like against Deadpool?
Yeah, it got such high, like everybody loved it when it first came out, and now like so many people are saying like, oh, you know, it actually wasn't that good and shit like that. Like,
what a bunch of assholes.
I know, right?
Stick with your guns.
Yeah, such bullshit. No, Deadpool and Wolverine was great.
Yeah. There will be no arguing that fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is below Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then it is below Spider-Man No Way Home.
Okay, yeah, you know, I like its placement.
Yeah, so it is our new number 6. So it is 6.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Oh, I love this. This is great.
I'm glad that this one scored as high as it did.
Me too.
Like, it absolutely deserved it.
Such a great movie.
Man, it's so good. So good. But yeah, so anyway, that wraps up this week's breakdown. If you like this episode, want to check out more of our stuff, be sure to follow and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. We are basically everywhere. Yeah, be sure to follow us on social media. We are everywhere at the All Bros. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, LinkedIn, YouTube. So YouTube, you have to specifically search at the All Bros to find us, like, which is dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you search that specifically, you'll find our shit. But yeah. So with that, next week we will be breaking down Megan 2.0. I did not have the highest of hopes for this movie. I honestly, I just want it to be as good or at least comparable to the first. If it succeeds with that, I will be perfectly happy.
That's fair. I from what I've heard, the biggest reason why a lot of people didn't like it is because it does a genre swap. Wow, I don't know English. So instead of being horror, it goes to like action thriller.
That actually might be in its favor, though, for me at least.
No, that
because I love that, because it's just like, okay, how do you make something scary twice?
Yeah,
at least when it comes to like something like Megan, where it was already borderline comedic.
Yeah,
like how do you make that scary twice? No, and it's just like I don't think you can.
Yeah,
no, and so doing a genre swap like that, I'm here for it.
All right.
At least I hope. Like,
yeah,
this very well may be like it sounds better than it appears in practice. But I'm ready. I'm ready.
No, I'm too.
Yeah. So you guys can look forward to that discussion next week. Until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Caleb,
and I'm Jonathan,
and we'll catch you guys next time. Deuces.
See ya.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.